When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
I'm sure you know that the world is full of terrible things. Things that if you were by chance encounter, would kill you with the same ease that you would kill an insect. The fact that humanity is a fairly weak and inconsequential species is a strange and paradoxical fact. On some level, we all know it, and yet, if the full truth of the matter goes out there, there will be no doubt be mass hysteria. People are afraid enough as it is, given the state of the world today, and I don't believe that making them aware of gods and monsters will improve the situation. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Robert Marsh, and as you might have guessed, I've had a bit more exposure to the supernatural than most. I've spent a significant portion of the past 500 years researching it for my own purposes. As for what ignited my interest in the supernatural, that would be vampirism. Long ago, a man I once knew saw fit to curse me with undeath, and since then I have been burdened with eternity, a life without end. It wasn't long after I became a vampire that I decided I might as well use my new time and learn all I could about my new condition, which led me down the rabbit hole of the supernatural. I've cavorted with fae, gods, spirits, and mystics, among other things, over the years. I've learned secrets that could bring civilization itself to its knees, and I suppose all that knowledge was what got the attention of the FRB. I've heard of the International Fae Relations Bureau, known to most as the FRB, prior to their initial approach of me. I thought very little of them at the time, which should not be interpreted as I thought poorly of them. I simply regarded them as another group of idealists hoping to foster a better relationship between humanity and other non-human entities. While it seemed a noble cause, I'd seen their like rise and fall before and was ready to dismiss them as nothing more than another group of well-meaning yet doomed fools. That was until I actually met them, at least. The year was 1985, and I was living in Rome, Italy. My life was quiet and more or less peaceful. By day, I worked in sales for a moderately sized company. Not the most exciting career for an entity such as myself, but money is a necessity to survive, and with it, I was able to live a modest life in relative comfort. Every few nights, I would go to the more expensive bars, and when a woman caught my fancy, I would make her my companion for the evening. Usually we would drink and move between bars before we retired together for the evening. While my nighttime companions were often beautiful, I was never one to overstep boundaries. Sometimes our brief relationships would grow more intimate. Other times we would simply part ways after I'd taken what I needed. An unfortunate side effect of being a vampire is that I need blood to survive. Many details regarding my kind are simple mythology. Fatal weakness to sunlight, the ability to shapeshift, and a fear of silver or crucifixes. However, our thirst for blood is all too real. I've never enjoyed taking a life, and while I could easily drain the blood from a person if I so wished, I can survive on lighter, albeit more frequent, meals. My nighttime companions were usually too drunk to remember what I'd taken, and I always took care to ensure their wounds were dressed before I left them. In my long life, I have only had to claim a handful of lives, and I assure you that most of those were in self-defense. The FRB contacted me on one of my nights out. I had visited a lovely little bar that I liked to frequent and ordered myself the usual glass of red wine as I surveyed the other visitors. Most had come in pairs or groups. I was looking for the loners, much like myself. Someone I could befriend for the evening. Male or female, it didn't matter to me. What I spotted was a young woman in a tight black dress, sitting by the bar. She was alone and quite lovely to behold. She looked disinterested in the world around her, and the empty glasses by her side told me that she was looking to get drunk. I knew her kind. I waved the bartender over and gave him my instructions. "Get her another drink, on me," I said, and the bartender nodded before going off to do just that. I watched as he served her her drink, and just as I'd expected, she looked over at me. I raised my glass to toast her, and she raised hers in turn, before taking a long sip. I took that as my invitation to go over. "Mind if I join you?" I asked.
"Not at all, Mr. Marshall," she replied, and I paused.
I very rarely gave out the name I was currently living under to strangers, but she seemed to know it instinctively. I caught a wary smile on her lips as she polished off her drink.
"You can sit down. I'm here to talk, not to pick a fight," she said.
I hesitated for a moment before taking her up on her offer.
"All right," I said.
"Let's talk then."
"I know you're out to feed tonight, so I won't take up too much of your time," she promised. "I have to make sure I got your attention, though. And you do have a type, Mr. Marsh."
"A single man should be allowed the pleasure of pleasant company if he so chooses," I reply.
"Of course, of course. I didn't mean to imply otherwise," the woman said. "Here, let me just clear the air. My name is Amanda Spector. I'm with the International Fey Relations Bureau."
My eyebrows quirked slightly.
"You're familiar with us?" she asked.
"The name has come up before, yes. What exactly do you want with me?"
"Word on the street is you've been around the block. Seen a lot, done a lot. It must have taught you a lot, too."
"If you're looking for information, there are more knowledgeable creatures out there, Miss Spencer."
"I know. We've even gone so far as to employ some of them. The FRB's interest in you is a little more hands-on. Sitting behind a desk doesn't suit you, Mr. Marsh."
"And what exactly is that interest?"
"Public safety," she replied. "The FRB is young, but we aren't stupid. Not everything out there wants peace, and there's countless things that just don't give a damn. To that end, they've started to put together a little subdivision. Most of our recruits so far are human, and while they've gone well enough, the higher-ups are in agreement that we could use something a little more familiar with these matters."
"So what? You're recruiting me into your secret police?" I scoffed. I took another sip of my red wine.
"Hardly. The Department of Public Safety is meant to protect people from the things out there that pose a threat. Ghouls, rogue vampires, and sirens. Things that could cause some damage if left unchecked. I don't need to tell you that there are more and more incidents every day, and if these things get out, the FRB is toast. I'm recruiting you to protect people."
I swirled the wine in my glass thoughtfully. "And it ends at monsters and rogues, correct?" I asked. I looked over at her. "If that's what you're asking, then I'll consider it. But I'm not an assassin, Miss Spencer."
"I'm not looking for one. I'm looking for a guardian," she replied.
There was something in her eyes that made me believe her. Desperation. Sincerity. I'm still not sure which. I finished my glass and stood up. "I'll think about it," I said.
"That's all I ask," she replied,
and set a business card on the table.
"When you're ready to start, give me a call."
I pocketed the card and she tipped me one final smile before I left. I had no intention of ever calling her, but the words she said lingered in my mind. I can't say I had much faith in the FRB, but if nothing else, I respected their interactions, and I suppose that was enough. I called Spectre at dawn the next day, and I never looked back. My orientation within the FRB did not last long. Technically speaking, I already had centuries of experience in the field, so the biggest thing to adjust to was the new system. It wasn't long before I received my first assignment and was out in the field working for them. The briefing said that there had been an attack on a small cottage just north of Naples. A family had been killed by something that had come out of the woods, presumably by a ghoul, judging by the description of the carnage it had inflicted. Ghouls are particularly nasty creatures. Stripped of their humanity by inhuman powers, all that remains of them are pale, malformed husks who only think about their next meal, whatever that may be. They are gruesome creatures who often run afoul of civilization, and the act of killing them is a mercy. I had been instructed to visit a certain restaurant 2 kilometers away from the site of the attack. It was there that I would meet my soon-to-be partner, Gustav Hauser. Gustav was a short and stocky man, although much of his bulk seemed to be muscle. His skin was pale and his eyes were a cold blue. He wore his long brown hair down to a ponytail. I recognized him on sight as he entered the restaurant, and he seemed to pick me out of the modest lunch crowd immediately. The moment he laid eyes on me, he regarded me with an intensity that made me slightly uneasy. I knew disgust when I saw it, but I pretended to ignore it in favor of at least attempting to begin the proper working relationship. "You're the vampire," he asked as he sat down across from me.
"Just call me Marshall," I replied.
Mr. Hauser, I presume.
"Gustav," he corrected. "I assume you've been briefed."
I have. Most likely a ghoul attack. I'd assume you'd seen a lot of those, correct?
Gustav scoffed. "Once a week, more or less. Damn things are everywhere. Never gets easy seeing them. I don't suppose that affect you much given your condition."
"On the contrary. I've seen their like for centuries, and they've never failed to disturb me. Immortality doesn't chip away at one's humanity if you don't let it." He let out a huff that could have meant many things. "We'll leave when the sun goes down," he said. "See if we can't draw the ghoul out."
"Wouldn't it be more difficult to engage it at night?" I asked.
"Yes, but considering your condition, I can move perfectly fine in daylight, if that's what you're worried about," I interrupted.
"Please don't worry about my condition. I can assure you that it won't be a hindrance or a threat."
"I can assure you it won't, too," he replied. "If you think you're up for it, we could head out after you eat." "You do eat, don't you?"
"On occasion," I replied. "The lobster looked particularly appetizing, if you're a seafood man." Again, Gustav huffed, sounding less annoyed this time. He picked up his menu and skimmed through it without another word. Perhaps he might not have liked me right off the bat, but I could work with that. After we ate, we drove to the cottage. It was a quiet little place, well off the beaten path. A prime spot for a ghoul. As we drove up to the old building, I could see the broken glass of the windows and the yellow lines of the police tape. Gustav parked just outside the tape, and we both got out. We approached the building together, and I could smell the old blood inside.
"How long ago was the attack?" I asked.
"The bodies were discovered 12 hours ago," Gustav replied. "The attack probably happened last night. Someone heard gunshots and came to investigate. Before you ask, I looked into reports of missing pets as well. There were 8 in the past year."
"Rather high for a place so remote," I noted.
Gustav huffed in agreement. "The cottages are new. Chances are they backed onto the ghoul's territory," he said as he spoke. I scanned the nearby woods. I suspected that Gustav was correct, and if so, our quarry would not be far. I approached the cottage and stepped inside. The stench of stale blood overpowered my senses, although I doubted that Gustav noticed anything. Even without the chalk outlines, I knew exactly where the bodies had fallen. "From the look of it, ghoul came in the living room window," Gustav said. "The mother was found nearby in the kitchen." and imagine her screams woke her husband, who got his gun and attacked the ghoul. He was found in the hallway, and their son was killed in his bed, I replied. Gustav paused.
I can smell the blood in the sheets from here. They found blood there, but no body.
I grimaced at the knowledge of what the ghoul had done. Yet, in taking something back to its hideout to feast on, it had marked a trail. I walked over to the broken window and looked out at the forest beyond. It was faint, but I could smell blood in the distance, along with the stink of decay. We'll look for tracks, Gustav said. Might be best to check the area outside that window.
No need, I replied. It's close.
Gustav paused.
I can smell it. Old blood, human decay. I've been around long enough to recognize it. It's faint, but I think I can track it.
Christ, you can smell it?
He asked. A benefit of my condition. My senses of smell and hearing are much better than yours, among other things.
No shit. I suppose I can see why Spectre wanted your kind on the DPS. If you think you can find that thing, lead the way.
He drew a pistol from his holster. Something high caliber. Probably good enough to kill a ghoul. He followed me out of the cottage and towards the tree line. While we weren't looking for tracks, I still noticed them in the dirt, and we moved into the woods. The smell was getting stronger, and though I trusted my nose, the trees around us made me feel claustrophobic. My senses would only lead us to a corpse, not the ghoul itself. The creature could have been anywhere nearby, and so we tread lightly. The closer we got, the stronger the smell became. There were no doubt several bodies nearby. Fresh and rotten meat to feed the insatiable hunger of the ghoul. Up ahead, I spotted a small stone hill. Smell seemed to be coming from there, and as we got closer, I recognized a dip in the ground that led into a small cavern. I held up a hand to stop Gustav. I pointed to the cave.
I'll go first, I whispered. Lure it out if it's in there.
I trust your steady shot.
Very,
he promised.
I've got you covered.
Though I had few reasons to truly trust Gustav, I still silently held him to that word as I began my approach to the cave. In the low light, my eyes could see bones picked clean. Most of them looked animal, but there were a few I recognized as human. The ghoul's lair had a rotten, wet stink to it, bad enough that I covered my mouth as I got closer, and yet, as foul as its little hole was, it looks to be completely empty. I grimaced as I spotted the ribcage of what I knew to be the missing child before taking a step back and looking over at Gustav. I shook my head. The ghoul wasn't there. And yet as I looked at him, I saw my eyes widen.
The trees, he called and raised the gun and fired before I realized just what he'd seen. A heavy weight bore down on me, forcing me to the ground. I heard the snap of hungry jaws by my ear, but they missed me entirely. I kicked and shoved at the creature on top of me and knocked it aside. I saw its spindly, grayish limbs struggle for a moment as it regained its footing. It looked at me with wide, unblinking eyes, tangled hair falling around its face and dried blood around its mouth. The ghoul hissed at me before clawing its way towards me. I scrambled to my feet, but I wasn't fast enough. Its claws raked at my back and dug into my flesh as it pulled me towards it. Its breath stank of rotten meat. It tried to sink its teeth into me, but I grabbed it by the skull and held it back as its jaws snapped wildly. I heard another gunshot, and a spray of blood erupted from its neck. The ghoul hissed and tried to look at Gustav before he shot it again, blowing away its head. Still, the damn thing stood, although only for a second longer, before its bony limbs collapsed from underneath it. Lifeless, it collapsed to the ground beside me and rolled down into the cave to join the other dead. I looked down at it, panting heavily, and thankfully I had suffered nothing more than a few scratches. The body of the ghoul twitched as if it was still trying to stand up. Once upon a time, that thing had probably been a lovely young woman. Now it was just another monster. Can't do everything, can you, vampire? Gustav asked, his tone cocky. He offered me a hand to help me to my feet. I suppose not, I replied, breathlessly. Damn good shooting. I've had some practice. We should move the body. Burn it and contact the police. He looked down into the cavern at the body of the child who'd been there. I'm sure someone will want to give that kid a proper burial. I nodded in response before following Gustav down to collect what was left of the ghoul. While I cannot pretend my relationship with Gustav was ever perfect, I must admit that the first job was the start of a solid partnership. He never did seem to warm to my condition, but over the next 4 years, it became easier and easier to trust him with my life. Together, he and I put down rogue sirens, who chose to overfeed or hunt for sport, groups of deep mermaids who'd grown too aggressive, and countless malevolent fae who sought only to spread chaos for fun. Despite our differences, I came to regard Gustav as a trusted friend, and I'd like to believe that he came to think of me in a similar manner. Perhaps that was what made our final job so difficult. On June 12th, 1989, two hikers in the Ukraine were attacked by an unknown entity, something they described as humanoid. Naturally, the FRB investigated the claims and concluded that it was a likely ghoul attack, and within 6 hours of the police report, Gustav and I were asked to investigate. The trail was remote and designed for more advanced hikers. I can't imagine it saw much use. It would have been ideal for a ghoul to call home. As I walked through the heavy underbrush, well ahead of Gustav, I can't say that I anticipated anything other than a standard ghoul encounter. I expected to pick up the scent of decay anytime soon. Or, if we were lucky, perhaps the much fainter, wet stink of a ghoul or its lair. I scanned the trees above me, and Gustav had his weapon drawn as we drew nearer to the spot where the attack had supposedly happened. "You smell anything?" Gustav asked. "Just the forest," I replied and paused. That wasn't entirely true. "There's something sweeter in the air here. Not blood. Nothing I'm familiar with." "If it's sweet, it's not our ghoul," Gustav said. He paused for a moment before adding, "Assuming it is a ghoul, could have just been a bear." "How many times have we told people it was just a bear?" I asked. He responded with one of his trademark huffs. "Maybe this time it really was. You ever seen a bear with a mange, Marsh? Terrifying fucking things. They're bony. Their flesh is pale. They look like zombies." "Then the least we can do is confirm it," I said. "If nothing else, the walking is good for you." Again, Gustav huffed. "Whatever you say, Mr. Liquid Diet." We hadn't gone much farther before the sweet smell I detected grew stronger. It was almost blinding now, and amongst the dark foliage I could see something small and luminous peeking out. I approached it slowly and bent down to get a closer look. "What is it?" Gustav asked as I examined it. "A flower," I replied, and that was the simplest description of it. The flower was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. It had 5 petals, and its colors seemed to shift from blue to green and even pink. There was a slight glow coming off of it, and its smell was strong and sweet. I delicately plucked it before wrapping it up in a handkerchief. I could show this to someone back at the office. Maybe they'd know what to make of it. From the corner of my eye, I saw the slight glow from other flowers, identical to the one I found. In the dim light, they were easy to see. "What is this?" Gustav asked warily. "Hell if I know," I replied as I stood up. "But something about this doesn't sit right with me." "It's a flower," he said. "What's there to be worried about?" "Humanity fears what it does not understand for good reason, my friend," I replied. "This flora doesn't look natural. I'd consider that very good cause for concern." Gustav responded with another huff. "A flower's a flower, vampire. Relax." Quietly, he scanned the area around us before pausing. I heard a rustling of leaves, and my partner took off at full speed, gun drawn. "Wait!" I called, but Gustav was always the sort to leap before he looked. By the time I was up again, I heard gunshots followed by a scream from him. I raced off in the direction Gustav had gone, I heard one final gunshot and a sound, an inhuman squeal that sent a chill through me. The last gunshot had been close. Gustav was just ahead, and when I found him, he was slumped up against a tree, coughing and hacking. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw something dart off into the woods, but my attention was focused more on my partner. "Are you all right?" I asked. I offered him a hand, but he pushed it aside and climbed unsteadily to his feet. "I'm fine," he spat. "Fucking thing jumped me. It's a goddamn ghoul." "Are you hurt?" I asked. "Bites? Scratches?" "Scrapes and bruises. I'm fine, mother," he growled, before pushing past me to head deeper into the woods. "Come on, let's kill this damn thing." I would have voiced my protest, but Gustav was a stubborn fool. He would have pressed ahead no matter what I said, and perhaps he was right for that. We had the ghoul on the run. It should have been easy to catch up now. Still, the deep sound of Gustav's hacking cough did not sit well with me. Up ahead of him, I could see the glow of several more of those strange flowers. The sun is getting low. It might not be wise to be wandering out here so late. I warned. "What, are you scared of the dark?" Gustav wheezed. "Come on." He broke down into another fit of coughing and gripped a tree to prevent himself from collapsing. "You think you're funny," I replied. "You can barely stand up, and that cough, it doesn't sound right."
"That fucking ghoul sprayed me with something," Gustav replied. "I don't know what. Something sweet that stank. I'll be fine. I just need to clear my lungs. I can keep going."
I stared at him, watching as he stood up and knowing that I'd needed to drag him kicking and screaming out of the woods if I wanted him to leave. I also knew that he'd probably shoot me if I tried. With a resigned sigh, I drew my own pistol and followed him. At the very least, I could ensure my thick-skulled partner didn't get himself killed. I had hoped that we might find the dying ghoul nearby, but we had no such luck. I couldn't even smell any blood from its supposed wounds. While Gustav was adamant he had hit his target, I had my doubts. Our quarry had run far, and I couldn't even hear its rustling movements in the distance. As we walked through the forest, the sky began to darken, but the shimmering hues from the flowers around us lit our path. Gustav cut ahead of me, pausing every few moments to cough. In the forest, it was difficult to mark our path already, but with my partner so far ahead, it was next to impossible, even for me. We continued onwards to the point where I wasn't even sure we were on the trail of the creature who had attacked us. The only change in our environment was those glowing flowers that seemed more plentiful than before. They polluted the air with an overpowering sweetness that was enough to make me cough.
"Gustav!" I called.
He didn't look back at me.
"Gustav, it's been almost an hour. We're wasting our time. The ghoul is gone."
He just kept going, fueled by a rage that seemed unlike him. I watched him for a moment as he vanished deeper into the woods before I followed, jogging to catch up to him.
"Gustav!"
I called as I put a hand on his shoulder. He looked back at me, eyes burning with rage.
"It's gone. We should turn back."
"It's here,"
Gustav replied. "It's in the ocean. Don't you feel it?"
I paused. There was something in his gaze, something very wrong. He pulled out of my grip.
"Not much farther," he said. "Trust me."
I watched him go, and for the first time in a very long time, I felt uneasy. Ghouls did not scare me. Neither did mermaids, fays, werewolves, or even other vampires. These were all terrible things I knew how to deal with. But Gustav, in that moment, scared me. We continued for over an hour, and it wasn't long before I noticed that the sound of our movement was the only sound I heard. Usually in such pristine forest, there would be other sounds of life, but around us, the world was silent. No birds, no animals, nothing at all. While I'd known animals to fear ghouls before, this was different. Gustav didn't seem to notice, though. I doubt he thought of anything but the prey ahead of him. At some point, we started up an incline, and I watched him claw at the earth and climb with single-minded purpose.
The strange flowers bloomed thick around us and continued to pollute the air with their sweet stench.
There, I heard him rasp. Up there.
It took me a moment to see what he saw. While the darkness did not impair my vision, it would have been easy to miss the overgrown wood that marked the entrance to an old mine. The tunnel into the earth was overgrown by moss, and yet, deep inside the cavern, I could see the glow of more of those flowers, shimmering like stars.
In there, Gustav rasped, before breaking into another coughing fit.
To his credit, it seemed less severe than before.
There. It's in there.
Near the entrance of the mine, I spotted old splintered wood. Someone had boarded it up long ago, and something else had forced its way inside.
Let's go,
Gustav said, before shambling off into the darkness. I stopped him.
Are you insane? You'll be blind in there. You're coming with me, aren't you?
He asked. Now it was my turn to huff in response. Out of the corner of my eye, I spotted an old lantern sitting abandoned just inside the mine. It didn't take long to light a little flame inside it. It was rusted, bent, and a little broken, but it sufficed.
Of all the fucking vampires I could get, I get the priss, Gustav murmured. I'm doing this for your benefit, not mine, I replied.
He didn't reply and just turned to trudge off into the mine. I followed him, keeping the lantern aloft. My every instinct told me that going farther was a mistake, but my partner had made up his mind long ago. The stink of those radiant flowers was almost blinding. Even if the ghoul had made its home in this old mine, I doubt I would have smelled it. Yet, despite my caution, Gustav continued to press on ahead. I noticed a few rotten old supports that looked like they wouldn't hold well. I'd seen them by the entrance of the mine, too. The place looked as if it was ready to collapse any day now. How exactly do you know where this thing is? I asked.
I just know, he replied. I feel it. First I was just following the trail, but now I feel it, Marsh. It's hard to explain.
My brow furrowed as I followed him. That doesn't worry you? I asked, and again he didn't reply. All the same, I found myself falling back a few steps, distancing myself from my partner. Up ahead, I heard movement, bony limbs shuffling against rock. While I couldn't smell the ghoul, I knew that Gustav's senses had led him to the right place. The luminous flowers around us shimmered in their strange hues. My pace slowed a little bit as I looked forward at Gustav. He kept his gun at the ready, expecting the ghoul to jump out at any moment. From the corner of my eye, I caught movements and heard the sound of claw against stone. I spun around just in time to see a shape retreat inside a side branch of the cavern, and I reached for my gun.
There,
I called. I didn't wait around for Gustav to come. Instinct took over as I pursued the ghoul and thoughtlessly abandoned my partner. Ahead, I could clearly see the ghoul scuttling like an insect along the wall, yet there seemed to be something wrong with it. The shimmering flowers that had accompanied us all the way up to the cavern seemed to be growing out of the ghoul's skin. Its flesh itself seemed to shift against its bones, and when it turned back to hiss at me, it seemed to grin knowingly. I could hear Gustav's footsteps rushing up behind me as the ghoul turns to fight. I fired my gun twice. The first shot blew away a chunk of its skull, and the second went into its shoulder. Neither of them slowed it down. Instead, the ghoul rushed towards me on all fours without stopping. I saw its mouth open, but not in the way it should have opened. Its lower jaw split apart, and much of its neck opened as well, revealing teeth that should not have been there, but even worse, pale yellow eyes. I fired again, shooting into its terrible maw as it advanced on me, but the bullets did nothing. In my desperation, I hurled the lantern at it. The lighter fluid I used to ignite it caught on the flesh of the thing before me, and its body was set ablaze like dry tinder. It shrank back with a pained screech as its flesh sizzled and pulled back from the flames like something alive. I stumbled backwards, watching as the creature burned and shambled backwards.
Perhaps the flames themselves wouldn't have been enough to kill it, but in its panic, it clumsily stumbled into the walls lined with flowers. The stray flames set those alight too, and all too quickly the fire spread. I looked back and saw Gustav standing behind me, staring wide-eyed and helpless at the ghoul he'd so desperately pursued. I didn't give him much time to watch. I ran for him and grabbed him by the arm before pulling him back at the way we came. We hadn't gone too far into the cavern. It was easy enough to find our way back out, and I tugged him along behind me as the old mine very quickly became an inferno. As we reached its mouth, we stumbled out into the moonlight, and I looked back to see a hellish glow in our wake. Gustav stared back at it in turn, panting heavily before looking at me.
"That ghoul," he finally said. "What the hell was that? It was a ghoul, right?"
"Maybe once," I replied. I looked around at the flowers that surrounded us, and I felt my heart race in a way that it hadn't in centuries. These flowers, they did something to it. It corrupted it somehow. We need to call this in, quarantine the area. Torch and burn everything. Get rid of them all.
Wait, get rid of it? Gustav asked. Marsh, what the hell are you talking about?
Didn't you see what I saw? That ghoul had those flowers growing out of it, and it was warped. It was something else entirely. It shrugged off our bullets. What if more creatures got exposed to these flowers? Hell, we've been exposed. What might it do to us?
Gustav just laughed, his lips curled into a smile. It didn't fit well on his face. "I think you're overthinking this, my friend," he said. "That ghoul, it was. It was beautiful, don't you think? I mean, look at these flowers. They turned something so disgusting, so horrible as a ghoul into something new. Something fierce and beautiful. It gave it an entirely new life. Now you're thinking about burning this all to the ground, without even knowing how far it can go."
I stared at him, my eyes narrowing. Do you hear yourself right now?" I asked. "Think about this for a moment."
"I am thinking," he replied. "For the first time in 20 years, I feel like I'm thinking clearly. Marsh, I knew where that thing was. I think when it attacked me, it breathed some of its essence onto me, and it enhanced me."
He paused and looked back into the inferno.
No, it shared something with me. With us. I think I get it now. It didn't want food. It wanted to share something. To show us an ocean of possibilities. That's why it led us on. It wanted us to chase it so we would see, and now I see, Robert. An ocean of possibility. You should too.
I stared at him, watching as his breathing grew heavier. I still clutched my gun in my hand. "I'm burning this to the ground, Gustav," I replied. "And once you get your head right, you'll agree with me that this was the right thing to do." In an instant, Gustav was on top of me. With strength that surpassed my own, he ripped my gun from my hands and forced me to the ground.
No, I will not let you do that. I'll make you see," he said, grinning wide from ear to ear. "I'll make you see it, just like I see it. I'll make you see it. Come, Robert. Come into the ocean. Breathe in deep."
Gustav's smile only grew wider and wider as I saw his head begin to change. His skull began to split open as that sweet stink only grew stronger. I could only stare in silent horror as I realized that there was no saving my partner. Whatever the ghoul had done to him, it had corrupted him outright. It had changed him, and now I was seeing just how much of him had been changed. In just a few hours, Gustav was no longer human, and as he prepared to unleash his payload on me, I struggled to push him off of me. I grabbed the side of his head and forced it upwards. Thick, shimmering spores drifted from his open skull, and with a scream of exertion, I threw him off of me. Gus fell towards the mine, leaving a trail of spores in his wake. Behind him, the flames were growing stronger. The mine was burning up. He climbed onto all fours, spores leaking from his skull. I watched a bone jut out of his arm like a blade, and shimmering flowers grew from the wound.
If you'll not join in life, I shall have your corpse, Gustav said, his voice distorted and garbled. Like an animal, my former companion raced towards me, but I was ready for him. As he lunged for me, I ducked under him and moved towards the mine. Arrogant as ever, Gustav pursued me, still moving like a twisted animal. His skull had reformed, and his lips were curled back in a twisted smile that I will never quite forget. As I backed towards the inferno, I spotted one of the rotten supports nearby and focused back on the thing that was once Gustav. He stood up, raised the extended bone shard jutting out of his arm to try and impale me. I sidestepped him and used his own momentum to push him deeper into the mine. The flames licked at his back as I saw a moment of panic in his eyes. "Marsh, wait!" he called in a voice I knew I recognized, but he wasn't going to stop me. With all my strength, I broke through the support. The rock above us shifted, and I watched as Gustav made a desperate scramble for the entrance. But I was faster. When the mine came down, I was out, but he was not. The last I heard was a desperate scream before the collapse of the mine crushed him and hopefully sent him to a peaceful rest. The DPS was quick to quarantine the area and burn the flowers, as per my request. Whatever was out there, it was too dangerous to leave unchecked. Of that I was sure. However, Gustav's loss did not sit well with me. I know that in his final moments he was not himself, and perhaps that bothered me even more than his loss. Either way, I did what I had to do. The flowers needed to be destroyed. I only hoped that we got all of them. If we didn't, well, I'd rather not think about that.